Acts chapter 12 is an awesome chapter. And if you have a Bible with you or a Bible app on your phone, I'd like you to follow along in the reading. It's on the wall here, Acts 12, 1 through 19. It is an incredible story. And I'm going to start right off with reading those verses 1 through 19 of Acts 12. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. And when he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. Before I go any farther, this could have easily thrown them. It's not the topic this morning, but I need to say a couple things about these verses as I go through them. Marvelous things had been happening. And I want you, leaders, I want you to get this, especially. Marvelous things had been happening. If you go back through the book of Acts, there was the day of Pentecost. These fishermen, these rough men that Jesus had called tax collector in Matthew's case, on and on it goes. This group of men that were quite the combination that made up the 12 disciples, at this time 11, because Judas hanged himself. Power of the Holy Spirit came in an incredible way. Peter got up and preached a tremendous sermon in the first part of Acts. God was moving in an unusual way. The church at Jerusalem was growing leaps and bounds. People were added weekly to the church. The power of God was so strong in that first dispensation of the Holy Spirit, the kickoff of the church. The power of God was so strong, and this wasn't the man, this was the power of God. Just to give you an example, the Holy Spirit was so powerful upon those men that the shadow of Peter, when he would walk by, they tried to lay sick people, so the shadow of Peter. Now, it wasn't Peter. It was the power of God within him. It was an incredible time. The kickoff of the church, the spreading of the gospel, the ability given to speak in other tongues so that quickly the word could be gotten out. For Jesus had cried, "It is finished," and had risen from the dead. And the devil had been put in his place, and salvation was offered to the world. And it was the birth and the beginning of the dispensation of grace. Powerful time. Makes perfect sense that God would give them instant ability rather than going off and learning languages. Give them instant ability to speak in other tongues so off they could go and tell the story from Jerusalem. God's plan is perfect. Isn't that cool? I wouldn't have thought of that. Let's get the gospel quickly to all the known tongues. The power of God was tremendous. Things were happening incredible during this time. Wow, does this chapter set you back? James is seized by Herod and he's beheaded. And Peter thrown in prison. Sometimes something will happen that'll throw you. You got to hang on. You got to hang on. When the storm is on the sea, don't jump out of the boat. It's worse out there. There'll be storms that come along in life that don't seem to fit in with what else has been happening. Young Christian, prepare yourself. You have a honeymoon spell when you first become a Christian, and there's a time period there where you're experiencing new joys and new feelings and the awesome feeling of forgiveness and becoming part of a church family. The enemy sits back and watches that and doesn't like that. And I don't know what your journey will be like, but there's components and similarities of components in all of our journeys. And what a setback this must have been, and how the church must have gone, whoa, what's going on here? In fact, we read at the end of this chapter that the church got together to fast and have a prayer meeting. I imagine. These wonderful things happened that the shadows of the apostles, the power of the Holy Spirit was that strong on them, that people were being healed. Tremendous things happened. And James was seized and put to death with a sword. And verse 3, when Herod saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers. 16 soldiers guarding him. Man, they'd heard the stories about this guy. They gonna keep an eye on him. They put him in prison and put 16 guards watching him. Herod had intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Pray for your leaders. Pray for your leaders. I used to occasionally ask people for prayer, and then I got wiser, and I started regularly asking people for prayer, and then I started asking people if they would take the assignment of prayer, and then I began asking if they'd be my prayer partner and pray anytime I needed to them. Now I got 27 people pray for me that are part of a prayer circle, and many of you. As we move in the kingdom and God gives us new levels of responsibilities, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Young Christian, as you move and grow in Christ and move to new levels, new level, new devil. Hello? New level, new devil. When the enemy hears you make a commitment, I'm going to be this, he hears that and he gears up to tear you down, for he's out to steal and destroy and tear down. And he's the father of lies. The power of God will see you through. Hang on when the difficult times come. Don't jump out of the boat in the storm. It's worse out there. Hang on. Sometimes things don't make sense. What? Have you heard what happened? Can you hear the buzz around the churches? The new churches that are started and the excitement over all the miracles and all that have been talked about. Have you heard that they killed James? No way. Not James. Yes, they killed James. Where did you hear that? Yes, they killed James. Peter's in prison. No way. Peter's in prison? No way Peter's in prison. Sometimes things will happen to throw you. Sometimes events will happen. We've had it happen in your life that you're like, what is the meaning of this? Guy and I talked the other day, and I think both benefited tremendously from the discussion. He and I and Bob Moore had a great conversation, and I talked about the importance of surrendering the unanswered questions. Surrendering unanswered questions. Our mentality is we got to fix it. We got to figure this thing out. We got to make sense of all this. We got to get our brains around this thing. Surrender your unanswered questions. Sometimes there's things that you're just like, I don't know. I don't know. As we walked into the hospital room in Plano, Texas, a suburb of Dallas, and there laid Alan, and Pam and I'll never forget that moment. I don't think she will either, as we were holding hands and we walked into ICU and started reliving 16 years ago, because 16 years before, Alan had been in an accident here at North Miami School and was lifelined to Indianapolis, and they actually shut off the helicopter at Duke's Hospital on the helicopter pad, and I said to her, I said, he's died. They wouldn't have shut off the helicopter. He has died. And they told us later that they lost him. But then they revived him. The church was in prayer. Don Day had known before I did and had begun notifying people. And I believe that those prayers is why Alan didn't die at that point, for God had things for Alan to do. And it would have been okay if that would have been the way it would have gone. And God would have given him grace, for he either gives you protection from it or grace through it. Did you hear that? Sorry, I had to stop and breathe. He either gives you God's guarantee is protection from it or grace through it. Sometimes he just protects you from it. It doesn't happen. You're just shielded. Other times you go through the valley of the shadow of death, but you fear no evil, for you are with me. Protection from it or grace through it. Write that down somewhere. Hang it on the refrigerator. It'll help you through the rough times. But as we stood there in Plano, Texas, remembering as we walk into the ICU, 16 years later from the accident that happened out in North Miami, he falls 30 feet from a church roof and breaks everything. Breaks everything. Broken neck, vertebrae, all of his ribs broken, all the way down. We found out more later than we thought at first. And as we walked into ICU, and there he was, swollen up like he looked up here at Duke's Hospital before he was flown to Indianapolis. We walked in that room in Plano, Texas, and there he was on a ventilator and all that goes with that, and we just looked at each other, and I felt like the Lord challenged me again, as I have instructed you in ministry with the same instructions. Surrender your unanswered questions. Lord, it happened the same day, October 9th, happened the same day, 11th. It happened October 11th, the same day, 16 years apart. Unanswered question. I don't know what that's about. I pray for my children. You pray for your children. What's going on here? But I have found that if you surrender your unanswered question to the master designer, if you surrender your unanswered question to the master designer, he will show up. And when I sat there in that room and said, Lord, I give you this, I don't understand. He has suffered so much in his life. He's been through so much. Lord, my son, it's hard to see him suffer again. And as I sat there in that room and had those feelings going through my body, I felt like the Lord said, will you give it to me? I said, okay, I will. I give it to you. And when you do that, God shows up. It was just a few minutes, and the shift changed. And an ICU nurse came in, and she said, you guys, I said a few minutes. It was a few hours. We sat there, and the shift changed. And a new ICU nurse came in, and she said, you guys need to go get some rest. She said, I'm not supposed to do this, but I want to tell you something. She said, I always pray for my patients every hour on the hour. And so if you need to take a break and leave the room, I want you to know I'll be praying for him while you're gone. God shows up. He doesn't always show up with an explanation. Colleen, when you were down there in Indianapolis with Kevin, and we were all praying for you, God didn't show up with a reason why that was happening. But he showed up, didn't he? He showed up in the forms of people. He showed up in the forms of unusual happenings. I remember it. God is faithful. And the reason I'm picking out Colleen here this morning is because sometimes people think, well, he's our minister, so God does special things for him. Get off that. Please don't be offended. But I get tired of that. Well, he's our minister, so God. The only reason I'm the minister is because I got more mouth than the rest of you. And there's different parts of the body. Okay, and I happen to be born with some communication skills. They're not always good. Sometimes they're not as good as others. And so God uses who we are. I don't get a special badge in heaven. I have to use this gift. Somebody said to me and said, well, you play music, you do this and that, you have different gifts. And I said, well, the Lord gave me several. I need to be busy using them. It's not about somebody's higher on the totem pole. And then, you know, sometimes people deal with petty jealousies. This person can do this, this person can do that. The body has no favoritism. You know, this finger's just as important as this finger, and that toe is just as important as this fist, and on it goes. And the internal organs that can't be seen, you can't live without, but they're not obvious, and they don't get praise and glory. They're on the inside, and you don't see them, but you have to have them. I appreciated Ray and Chris Bates, and I think they're out of the service, but I appreciated Ray and Chris Bates and their willingness to work in the background. I told Ray one time, I appreciate all you guys do. I said, you just do whatever you're asked. You never complain, and if we change it, you don't get mad. And I said, I just appreciate that. And she said, well, I figured out the part of the body I am. I said, what? She said, I'm the spleen. I said, you're the spleen. And she said, yeah, I'm the spleen. She said, you can't see it, and it's not always doing anything, but you need it. But the truth is, I went away from that saying, Lord, I want to be willing to be the spleen. You know, I want to be used. This is really an ADD message, isn't it, Mom? Until we're getting old, I called her Mom. At least I didn't say Grandma. Plano, Texas. We walked into the hospital room, and there wasn't an explanation of what it was, but God showed up. God shows up, and I want to tell you something. He's real consistent and faithful about showing up. The morning after the fires, we walked around in the ashes. Lord, what's this about? Winter's coming. Just finished cancer treatment in April. We lose our house and lose everything in it, because what wasn't burned up was the smoke damage. It couldn't be repaired. As we walked around the ashes early that morning, the night before, friends and family had all been there. It was a busy time. I went back over the next morning as I walked around in the ashes. Lord, what is this about? And God shows up. God shows up. Lord, I give it to you, but see if you get mad. And I've gone there. I'm not criticizing. That's a hard thing when things happen, especially if you're a fixer. And you got to get things together, and you want things right, and you want to run your life. Boy, it's hard for those kind of people to lay it down. But when you lay it down, and I never will forget that morning I went over, and I knelt down on the grass, and I said, Lord, it's August or September, I can't remember which it was, and winter's coming, and the house just burned. I got horses here. We ain't got any water. You know, electrical box in the house burn up, pumps gone. What do we do? Could you send me some help? And I said, amen. I said amen and got up off this knee and stood up, and I heard a noise and turned, and a truck come up over the hill in the lane. It was Eric Allwine. Eric, Kathy, they're involved in the church before Eric went into pastoring. Come up over the hill, and he pulled up, and he walked up to me, and he got out of the truck, and he came up, and he said, Pastor Tom? I said, yeah. He said, I was on the roof of a house working, and God spoke to me just clear as anything and said, Tom needs some help. Go offer to help him. God shows up. And in an hour and a half, he crawled around those ashes and got back down in the old crawl space and hot-wired something together and got my pump working, and I had water. Now, it was a while before we got the house built. It's a process. It's a while before we got the house built. I'm saying to you that God will show up in our hour of need. Sometimes something will happen to throw you. Sometimes something will happen that just, what in the world? Man, all kind of miraculous things were happening. Man, I just got saved and I was doing so good. And things were happening in my family and all that. And what's this now? What is this now? Give God your unanswered questions. I think that's another level of surrender. Another level of surrender is, yeah, we can sometimes surrender our home and our cars and our things, but there's another level of surrendering the unanswered questions. Because it seems scripturally sometimes that that should have happened. It seems scripturally, according to the Bible and according to what happened to the other people in the Bible, that this should have happened. But it didn't go that way for me. They grabbed Peter and had him in prison. And they beheaded James. Verse 5, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Boy, this isn't what I was going to preach on, but this just keeps coming to me. I have a bunch of notes about a bunch of other stuff. The church was earnestly praying for him. Do you pray as earnest as you do everything else? Boy, we can be earnest about our business, you know? And we need to be, especially if you're an American in middle Indiana. We're kind of running our own depression here in central Indiana. I feel sorry for Christian businessmen and women. It's difficult. But are we as earnest in our prayer and service to the Lord as we are our own stuff? I want you to ask yourself that. The principle of the Old Testament, clear back before Jesus came, was to give the first fruits. You gave the best to God. You gave the best to God. Are you giving God your best or are you giving him leftovers? I think Americans maybe give their leftovers. That's one thing I appreciate, especially about Haiti. And why I was so pumped the first time I went to Haiti. Boy, there's lots of problems over there, and there's need for lots of growth, and there's problems in the leadership over there, and all kinds of things. But I believe a lot of those people do understand giving their best to God. Oh, they'll walk. They'll walk several hours, come to service, sit on a wooden bench, and sit through a service, a three-hour service, and don't want to leave. When we were there at convention, they start singing at 6 in the morning. They have a service at 6, a service at 10, a service at 2, a service at 4, and a service at 7, and a lot of them walk. Now, we're not as tough as they are. I always joke with the board over there in Haiti and tell them we're a bunch of wimps, and they all laugh. They are tough people, but there's an earnestness, too, among a lot of them. The church was earnestly in prayer. Are we as earnest in prayer as we are about everything else? Boy, we can be earnest about our stuff. We can be earnest about our things we own. Boy, we can take good care of the stuff that's ours. How earnest are we? The night before Herod was to bring Peter to trial, Peter was sleeping. This is convicting to me personally. I'd have been going through my notepad, fidgeting, writing down possible escapes. I think that's powerful in itself, just that line. Peter was sleeping. They had beheaded James. They had put him in prison with the intention of bringing him out and making a public display with him. The next morning, he's asleep. That tells you something right there. I don't know what we're going to face in our country. I think we're headed a dangerous direction. But I want to have a peace that I can go to sleep. I have had that on a personal level. The night they told me I probably wouldn't live the night, I often wondered how I would react in that situation. I'm not saying this in a boastful sense. I'm saying it to some of you new Christians to let you know that God shows up. I was bleeding between my teeth and out my nose, and the capillaries had all burst in my legs with acute myeloid leukemia. They quit being tactful and started just hurrying in out of my room, and I just kept looking at them and asking questions. And because I was calm, I think that some of the nurses began to be responsive, and finally they just said, well, we're going to have to be blunt with you. We can't type your blood. And they brought a vial of my blood in, showed it to me. It had this black stuff in it. Tommy, my son, he couldn't believe when he saw the vial of my blood. And I'm not sure, Robert, he said, we are having, because of the condition of your blood, we're having difficulty typing it. And they ended up to the Indiana Blood Bank finding me some blood. But I didn't get blood till 11 o'clock at night, but they told me if I didn't get some blood, I was in trouble. And they were hurrying around, and you can tell that. But I remember that night kneeling on some pillows because I would bruise so badly. And I remember saying, Lord, I give you everything. I give you everything that I have. And I remember saying, Lord, I give you my future grandchildren. I give you the ministry. Maybe I'm going to leave this world at 50, which is what I was at the time. One request I had is, Lord, may my wife not be left with a bad memory. Because they said I could bleed out through my skin. And I said, Lord, I would appreciate it if my wife did not have a final memory like that. That would be awesome if you would take care of it in a way. And I got in bed, and I went to sleep. And Kevin, I slept like a baby. What am I saying to you? Pardon my English, I ain't nobody. I ain't nobody. I'm a weakling. When I get to heaven, you find out how weak I am, you'll say, why in the world would we have that guy as a pastor? But what I found is that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and God shows up. But you know what? You got to show up. Will you receive that from me? You got to show up. Mary Magdalene, the former prostitute and demonic woman, was first to see Jesus. I've been praying about speaking on that Easter possibly when we have a lot of visitors. That's a powerful, powerful truth, if not one of the most powerful truths in the Bible. A woman that had been a woman of the streets and slept with everybody, a prostitute, a demonic. She was the first to see Jesus. But it's because she came early and stayed late. It says very early in the morning on the first day of the week, Mary came. And when everybody else left, she stayed around and she thought it was the gardener and it was Jesus. I want to show up early and stay late. I want to be earnest. God shows up. Are we showing up? Are we showing up for our devotions before we go to work in the morning? I'm not being legalistic. But you draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Quit telling me, and nobody said this. I'm using this as a way of saying it, a word picture. Don't take offense at it. Quit telling me, well, God's closer to these people than He is to me. He'll meet you in your own way. Your journey may be different. Your experiences may be different. But I found out if I show up, He shows up. And it's not about earning it, for it's through God's grace. But if you draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. And suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up and said, quick, get up. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. The chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals. And Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me, the angel told him. And Peter followed him out of the prison. But he had no idea that what the angel was, he had no idea that what the angel was doing, wear your glasses, son. He had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. Well, like all of us, man, am I asleep here? Can't believe this. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. And when they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Get the picture? Have a story in your mind. It's an awesome story. We'd encourage you to use this in your devotions this week. You'll get a lot more out of it. It's an awesome story. You can go all kinds of directions. Peter is in prison. He's asleep. He's chained. He has personal chains around his wrists. He's chained. There are 16 soldiers watching him, and then he has the walls and gates of the prison to deal with. The angel of the Lord said, "Get up." And when he obeyed, the chains fell off. Powerful message in that. When the Lord says, "Get up," when the Lord says, "Come to me," when that stirring is in your heart in the middle of a service, don't ignore that. God can break shackles. He can break chains. He can break the things that have a hold of you. But you got to get up. You have to respond, and He'll help you get up. You got to make the decision in your heart, though. That one is yours. The grace of God reaches down incredibly, but the decision is yours. The prodigal son had to say, "I will return to the Father." And when he did that, the Father saw him a great way off and ran to him. But the decision is yours. That's the one thing that you have to do. One man has said, "I reach up as far as I can, and God will reach up the rest of the way." Excuse me. "I reach up as far as I can. God will reach down the rest of the way." I have seen that proven in my own life. When you're at a point of weakness in your life, and maybe it's from sins of your life, and you're initially coming to God, or maybe you're walking with the Lord, but you need Him in an hour of need. Maybe you're in a hospital like I was 10 years ago, and you can only reach up 40% of the way. God will reach down 60, but there's times you can only reach up 10% of the way, and God will reach down 90. He'll meet you where you are, and sometimes you're too weak. "Help thou mine unbelief," the man said, and you can't reach it all, but you made the decision. "I want your hand. I choose you," and God will reach down 100% of the way. I don't know what chains you may be in this morning. There's chains of all different kinds, but I believe in these last days that before the return of Christ, and especially through this ministry at the location that God has put us, we're to be a herald of, "Get up. Come on. Take a hold." And if your answer is yes to that, God will remove those chains. And there's more than one set of chains. It's a process. There's the chains of personal chains that have you chained. Peter was chained to soldiers next to him around his wrists. Then there's the captivity of the 16 soldiers that you got to get past. There's some other issues that got to be worked through. There's another layer. And I'm not going to go to it this morning because God led me another direction. I respect that. But I'm going to have another message on this as it pertains to addictions of all kinds. Three levels of captivity: personal chains. Second level of captivity is 16 soldiers that you got to get past. And then there's the walls and the iron gate of the prison when you enter the outside world. And oh no, I'm back to reality of oh my. I'm back to the real world. And it is a process. And it's a process that takes time. Then Peter came to himself, verse 11. "Now I know without a doubt the Lord sent His angel and rescued me." How many of you know without a doubt that the Lord rescued you at some point? You, without a doubt. All over the congregation. Without a doubt. I'm almost amused when people want to talk to me and doubt the existence of God. And I don't mean that to be insensitive. People have been embittered by ugly things that have happened in their life, and I understand why they take that route. But many of you can relate to what I'm about to say. I say this with the height of respect for the Word of God, but I don't go back and try to prove anything to them from Abraham or Moses or Noah or Adam. I got experiences of my own. I got experiences of my own. Many of you do too. How do you know your mother's your mother? How do you know your mother's your mother? I've asked people that when they say, how do you know there's a God? I've said, how do you know your mother's your mother? Well, of course, you got a birth certificate, but that ain't it. Of course, you could go back and ask people in the community and the doctor, did you deliver so-and-so? That isn't how you know your mother's your mother. The way you know your mother's when you were burning up with fever and you were 6, 7 years old and you were sitting on her lap and she was rubbing your brow and pulling you up close and rocking you back and forth and comforting you, you knew in your heart of hearts that that was your mother. And God, in this troubled world, will pull you close at times, and there's no question in your mind that it was the Lord, and you know it. And it's almost humorous to you when somebody suggests otherwise, because you know in your knower that He has made Himself real to you. And I want to challenge you with something in closing. God wants to make Himself real to you. He doesn't want you to sit back and admire other people that have a good relationship. It's okay to recognize the work, marvelous work God has done in other people's lives. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with saying to someone, you know, God did this in the life of my pastor or my friend at church, or there's nothing wrong with us drawing from other people's experience. But God wants to become incredibly real to you. And I think that's the real issue. Each of you, when I look around this congregation, when you really connected is when God made Himself real to you. Eric, I just caught eye with you there. When God made Himself real to you that time that you shared that experience you had, that was a turning point in your life. God wants to make Himself real to you. Lord, I want to know You. I want out of those personal chains. I want out of this prison I've created. And my heart goes out to the condition that people's lives are in. But God's in the business of deliverance. And I didn't turn one page in notes. And I had 7 pages on here, and I only went to the first one. And you know what? I'm proud of myself because I don't feel guilty about it. I always think, boy, I was supposed to use my notes. No, I believe I was supposed to go this direction for some reason. I had no intentions. I didn't say one thing in my notes. But I'm going to save that for another time because I got a message on 3 levels of captivity from addiction that we'll see. I'm not going to promise I'll do it next week. We'll see. He wants to know you. Are you showing up? That's all you got to do. You can do that. You can show up. You have to impress anybody. You don't have to have everything fixed. And, Lord, I fixed all. I got rid of all my bad habits. No, just show up just as I am without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. Now when you show up, He'll start working in you, and He'll do it in a way you can handle. It won't be burdensome. It won't be cumbersome. I get a little irritated sometimes. Nobody's been doing this. But I have been through this in past churches. I get a little irritated sometimes when people take me aside. You need to talk to so-and-so. You need blah, 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 blah. You need to talk to them. You need to talk. Well, truth of the matter is, they don't want to do it, and they want me to do it. People like to put rocks in your wagon so you can pull them. There's a story about that. It's kind of cute. Now, there might be times we need prompted. So if the Spirit leads you to prompt me on something, I'm not going to be smart-aleck about it. Sometimes the Lord will cause a prompt. But what I have found is God will come to you on your own journey when you're ready and when you can handle it. You show up, you have fixed everything. You show up, He'll start working on you. Now, you got to surrender when He points something out. And that's between you and Him. I ain't got nothing to do with that. But there'll be things He'll point out in your life, and He'll say, I want this from you, and I want this from you. And it might not all be the same, because He knows your weaknesses and your strengths, and He knows what you need. So He'll say, I need this from you, Tom Robbins. People say, you're really conservative in certain areas. Yes, because I have weaknesses in those areas. Hello? Yeah. There's some areas I'm very conservative because I have weaknesses in those areas. And I'm protecting that. Being a Christian isn't being as strong as a bull. It's having the wisdom to recognize your weaknesses and deal with them accordingly. And God will deal with us individually in His own way. But the journey is exciting. The journey's adventurous. It is. It's fun. It is. God's developing. I see some of you smiling, nodding your heads because you know what I'm talking about. It's an adventurous journey. And you look back with amusement and amazement sometimes, and you'll laugh at yourself and realize how patient God was with you, but how he would bring you along at the speed you can handle. Are you showing up? That's all he asks. You can do that. So stand together for prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the awesome altar time. I think a number of people did serious business this morning. They showed up. I want to say to you who came to the altar this morning, some of you were here praying for others, some were here for your own needs. Don't let the devil steal from you what you did this morning. Tomorrow morning when you have some of the same feelings and all that you've had in other days, that trip to the altar didn't make any difference. No. That's the starting gate, and you showed up. And if you're serious about the journey with God, your trip to the altar this morning was significant. I didn't know 2 years later how significant that prayer was at that couch in the living room of my fiance. Years ago, you've heard me tell about going in there in the dark and kneeling down in an awful mess and saying, Lord, I'm going to start over if you'll help me. I didn't realize 2 years later the significance. That was the beginning of a journey that 41 years later I wouldn't trade with anybody in the world. So if you showed up this morning at altar time, don't you let the devil steal what you started. He's patient and kind, Lord. Confirm these words to the hearts of the listeners. And I'd ask in Jesus' name that the seed planted today through song and word, I specifically ask in Jesus' name that the seed planted in song and word will take root.